Welcome to Wrestling with the Truth, the podcast for every pro wrestling fan. We've got heated debate, great guests, top 10 lists, reviews, previews, and so much more. And now here are your hosts, BC Hunter and the Nightmare, Jay Myers. All right, you are here with BC Hunter and the Nightmare, Jay Myers, and we are here to discuss what else but wrestling. Jay, how you doing?
Well, I hope we are. The show is called Wrestling with the Truth, but I'm doing fantastic.
Maybe we'll talk about the truth.
We could talk about the truth and the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. You can't handle the truth, though.
I can't.
What is going on? How are you doing? It's someone's birthday today, and it's not mine, so I'm not sure. Not sure who that. It's the producer Jim, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. Or that other guy, that other personality that we don't mention on air or anything like that. I know it's not BC Hunters. He's just like smoke.
He's mysterious. Yeah, he's like smoke through a needle. Is that a thing?
Exactly. We are fictional characters. We don't actually have any.
We already celebrated BC's birthday from your PC page. I remember that.
Yeah. Oh well. Eventually, it'll all come to fruition.
There you go.
Well,
the mask will be forever unveiled.
Yeah. Well, the mask part is gone. Just the rest of it has to go. Once we start making money, we'll have to reveal our true identities
for CRA reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
That's IRS for those American listeners. But
exactly. Yeah.
Not Aaron R. Scheister.
Or Erwin R. Scheister.
Erwin. What did I say? I said Erwin.
You said Aaron.
No, I thought I said Erwin. Maybe I said Aaron.
You did ARS. Arse.
That's almost better.
That'd be a good takeoff for the indie scene.
we're already, gentlemen.
Yes. Well, this is hour three of recording because just so you folks know how dedicated we are, we've recorded two episodes for our YouTube channel. So please go on over there and check them out. We did a review of Bound for Glory, and then we also did a review for Extreme Rules. Yeah, so they should be up once we have this release. But if not, they will be there shortly after. We went a bit long, as usual.
We're so dedicated that we took the time off, unpaid from our real jobs, and just to do the show specifically.
Yeah, and now we're actually recording our audio episode here. And boy, have we got a doozy something happened in wrestling on the weekend.
I don't know what that could be.
Just a little thing.
I don't know what for the last month we could have been leading up to, or a month and a half. But let's get into what the world is talking about, the world of professional wrestling, I guess.
Well, what the world is...
As much as TK would have you believe is otherwise, Bray Wyatt returning.
That's right.
And finally, after barcodes and predator language and phone numbers and geotags and whatever else they mixed in there, we got a fantastic, phenomenal, I'd even say, return that definitely lived up to the hype. What do you think?
I agree. We followed the White Rabbit, and it led to none other than Bray Wyatt. That was quite the impressive job that they did on. I don't know if I'd say it was a secret, but it certainly built up intrigue as to what was going to happen, eh?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Do you think it was like one of those things that maybe, I think we talked about this in one of the review shows, but you think it's one of those things that maybe they learned from the whole CM Punk return through AEW that technically AEW never said, but they hinted at, they did really obvious clues that it was CM Punk, and they sort of, it was the worst kept secret in a way that they actually did it themselves, where they kind of made sure everybody sort of knew he was debuting. Do you think that the WWE learned from that, or at least maybe Triple H did and the new creative team learned from that?
It's possible. I have a feeling that either they learn from that or they just resign themselves that they're never, ever going to be able to keep anything secret in this world. For some reason, it just seems like all the WWE thing gets spoiled prior to, yet a lot of AEW stuff doesn't seem to be spoiled prior to. And I don't know why that is.
That's not you being bitter one bit, is it?
It wouldn't be that some certain personalities are more favorable to one over the other, would it be?
Wouldn't be a certain Dave at a Chase U press conference, would it?
by the way, that was hilarious. Yeah,
that was pretty awesome.
Who'd you beat, Dave?
Who'd you ever beat, Dave?
Oh, that line needs to be used a lot more.
No, I think, I was probably overthinking that just because I do think Paul Levesque pays attention to his competition, because at the end of the day, they are competition. Tony Khan's got more money than he knows what to do with, so that should be considered competition. But do I think he probably took whatever? Maybe he learned from it, I guess. I'm almost answering my own question. I guess I'm almost saying no, he actually probably didn't even consider that CM Punk return, is because it was a total different approach, I guess. So the only similarity being that they kind of were spoiling a very big, very impactful return, right? I guess that's the only difference, that's the only similarity.
Yeah, I agree. But you know, it was an interesting way to do it, and it certainly got people interested in the pay-per-view, because as we talked about in our review, the event itself, I keep saying pay-per-view, PLE, whatever you want to call it, but when you look at it overall, it wasn't the best event or anything like that, but you throw this little ditty on top of it and you've got one of the most talked about events of the year.
Absolutely. I was thinking about this too, just after we left the last discussion. So I agree. It wasn't the best. It was very solid, probably B- show, but factor in that there was no Bloodline, no men's title match, no men's tag team title match, no tag team title matches at all. When you strip it back, when that was just based on five or six, like feud, what do we call those, rivalry type matches? Mm-hmm. Like that in and of itself is pretty impressive, and I think that should make it bumped up a little bit. You know what I mean? Yep. I don't know if that makes sense, but I was thinking about that after. I was like, for what it was, especially when there was no sort of like big attraction person or like crown jewel type promotion and all that stuff. It was just five grudge matches that had all stipulations attached. So I guess it was Bianca was a title match, and that was the only title match, right?
The two
women's matches, right? So I guess I shouldn't say that. So it wasn't all grudge matches, but still, for no Roman, no Bloodline, no Brock, no Usos,
no Bobby Lashley,
like. I think that did a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. Now the Bray thing 100% makes it more intriguing for sure. But we only knew it was shaping up to be a good card before we actually even knew that was sort of the date that they were hinting at. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I guess I was just thinking about that after the fact, like, yeah, it was probably a B show, like grade wise, but really in today's era where they didn't have all those guys, Miz wasn't like, they didn't have a lot of the namesake that they usually would. So I think you should get a little more bump up, maybe B+ on that one.
Yeah. All right. I can live with that.
See what you feel me?
Yeah. It's like the, it's like the B crew when they go out on tour while Hogan's leading the A crew, the B crew has to go out with, Honky and Macho, headlining, and they pulled it off.
Bangers. Yeah. They still put on some bangers. So anyway, just an afterthought on the, go check out the review. That was just what's that called when you link to another video, right? That's just a tease to go watch that video.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. What did you think of the,
we're so technical in the industry. We have no idea.
We'll put a QR code up.
yeah, exactly. Fair enough.
I'll put a link to the review show actually in the notes for this one. How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
We'll salvage you. What'd you think of the actual overall review as part of the show?
The return, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, what did I say? Oh, yeah, The Return. Sorry, yeah. I'm punchy.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about this in the review, or we did talk about this in the review, but I think it bookend, right? So I think the Donnybrook match stood for itself. That was a great match, great way to kick it off. And then the Bray return, which was, what, 10 minutes? It was a good 10-minute segment, I guess, right? Almost probably 10 minutes, if not more. Really, really did it in as like, okay, like if you were still quote unquote buying those pay-per-views, that would have been a worthwhile buy, right? Because of that, right? I mean, it would have been more than a worthwhile buy. So I think it bumps it up over the top. And I think we did discuss this, like on the surface, it was a decent, probably average pay-per-view, but with the Bray return, it makes it a must see, right? I mean, if you missed that, you were pissed, right? You were definitely pissed if you missed that. Live when it happened. I mean, there is no missing things in 2022, I guess, but.
And it was unique in the presentation.
Yeah.
There was
you know what I loved? I loved that they were trying to like quasi swerve us because the WWE logo thing when it came up, you know, when the shows usually end and the little thing comes up and Cole's like, okay, that's what a great show. And we'll say, what the hell? What? And like, oh, okay. You almost had us for like 30 seconds.
Yeah, and serious, Cole. Are we still filming, guys?
Are we still on?
All right, Cole.
But so kudos to them. They tried.
Yeah, I mean, it was very artistic, in, as usual, with anything that's involving Bray Wyatt. A lot of symbolism in it. I mean, with the old characters all being revealed, and then you have the actual fun house. And something I didn't catch.
It wasn't symbolism at all.
I think it was a bit of symbolism there, but the thing that I didn't catch that a lot of people are saying was a bit of symbolism too. One, the mask that, is it Abby the Witch? Is that her name?
It was Brody Lee's.
Brody Lee's, yeah.
What were they called?
The Bludgeon Brothers.
Bludgeon Brothers, right.
Yeah. And then the blue light that was coming out of the door was symbolic to, I guess, Brody Lee, when he did some promos, he had blue light behind him or something like that.
I didn't catch that.
Know if they went that far, but as I say, anything with Wyatt seems to always have some type of double meaning to it.
So, I mean, might be that's a great point, leads me into maybe, because I thought maybe bring this up, and I don't know if this is probably the best section to bring it up, but I'm not sure if you had sort of read or heard that this new sort of writer that they brought on, this, I believe his name is Jason Fee, maybe something along that lines. Forgive me if you're listening, but who's got all kinds of entertainment background and sort of screenwriting credits and all these different sort of legitimate experience, who's now apparently been brought in with this Bray Wyatt signing and story and creative, the White Rabbit. He was apparently responsible for the White Rabbit. He's now sort of tying all storylines together. He's got this new fancy title, director of long-term story, whatever. But apparently he was solely responsible for sort of all this White Rabbit, working with, not solely, I guess, working with Wyatt, with, Rotundum? What was this?
Wyndham.
That they did this together. So do you think... I guess I'm all that to be said, does this happen? I think we all know the answer. It doesn't. Does it happen in Vince's era? But B, does it happen if this fella is not brought in to sort of help pen some of these ideas with Wyndham?
I think it happens somewhat, because I think obviously they're going to give Bray lots of. Lots of contributions as to what it's going
to
look like.
It's got to be part of his deal to come back.
But maybe this guy was able to take those ideas and really round them out into this overall production. It was definitely a production. It was thought out, like from point A to point Z. You know, they knew what they wanted to do and how they were going to get there. So I would say that they, definitely this guy played a major factor if that was the case, because you even heard Triple H when he was on the interview with Ariel, what's his name?
Ariel Helwani.
Ariel Helwani, when he said, like, and this might have been completely kayfabe, but he said, like Bray is a difficult guy to work with as far as from a production standpoint, because he has a zillion ideas, but it's hard to keep them all into one, you know, one little package so that they can go. Like, the guy's brilliant, but he's just all over the place and he's zinging from different idea to different idea. So maybe this guy was able to sit there in a room with Bray and say, okay, give me your ideas, and now let's meld them into one.
Yeah, no, fair point. Fair point. I forget how Triple H put it, but he put it somewhere. And like he said, I mean this in the best possible way, but he said something like, I don't remember, but it was like almost like a slight, but he was saying he's so creative that it can be difficult. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess where I was going with that too is if these guys, so apparently Wyndham has been working with this writer, this whatever is, thing is for like maybe a movie back in the day or before he got released and all this stuff. So it's just cool to see that he's almost got like this, I don't know how you want to call it, but like almost personal writer for him now going forward, which would be really, really, I'm really super optimistic about that.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing. Like it's no different than when you play in a sports team and you have a star player that maybe has like the team psychologist that's assigned to him, or because they're a bit of more of a bigger personality, or the student in school who, you know, has got a lot of talent and is able to do well, but they need that extra attention from the guidance counselor or whatever. So it might be a similar situation. And if that means it's going to be a better presentation for Bray Wyatt, what the hell, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. And it appears that he's going to be a special attraction type thing. And he's sort of, so anyway, I'm super excited to see how this all plays out. And I think the return was a slam dunk. Mm-hmm. They nailed it. We all said in their room, they're like, they need to nail this. They need to deliver. And I was a little worried after, or not worried then, but hearing after that they almost went a different direction and they almost didn't reveal the whole thing and they almost sort of only revealed some things. I was like, I think they made the right choice to kind of, apparently it was a last minute thing to actually show Bray. And
anyway, okay. But,
so that's, again, it's all innuendo and rumor and stuff, but apparently they sort of last minute decided, no, we're just going to go full bore with it. But they were only going to like tease different things and sort of, but anyway, so who knows what would have come, but I think people would have been a little pissed off if that was the case, if they didn't actually get Bray in the flesh.
Yeah. And I'm okay with even with a slow build of that. I'm glad that they just didn't go blah. And there it is. He's interfering in the title match. And now he's raising the title and saying, I want you next. I even if they had done all they did, showed the door, showed the opening and just had the lamp come out and then they didn't show Bray. Hey, even that would have been pretty cool. You would have, you think you'd tuned into Raw last night. Imagine everybody what they would have done if that was the case. Right.
Yeah. It's a fair point.
So fair okay with long builds.
It's going to be a long-term storyline thing. Personally, and we can get into that later, but I think there's way more to come that they haven't even scratched the surface on.
Yeah, for sure. So, actually, let's touch on that, because that was my next point, you know, and it was in regards to all these people that we saw at the show. Is there potentially a stable coming with you know, all these characters? Like, and when I say a stable, I mean, like, and I'm just flashing the picture up there for people who don't have the video of this, but we saw,
so cool.
Yeah, so I know cool. We saw the living so embodiment cool. of all these characters, Huskus and Abby and the Rabbit and Mercy and the Fiend. Yeah. So now there's tons and tons of rumors going around about, okay, this is definitely going to be a stable. That's why the whole Wyndham Six was what they mentioned.
I think it's Wyatt Six, I think.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Wyatt Six. Yeah. So you had the rumor was that it was going to be Bray and these five individuals, and there's a lot of argument about who it is. I'll just briefly run down who a lot of people are saying, and then we can give our thoughts on what we think is going to happen. So a lot of people are thinking that Huskus might be Joe Gacy. They think that Abby is going to be Alexa. Yes, sorry. Yeah. Possibly that the Fiend was actually Bo Dallas, who's reportedly being signed back by WWE. So that's interesting. The White Rabbit, they were saying Cross, but I don't really see that being the case. And then Mercy the Buzzard, there's an argument that it could either be Grayson Waller or it could be Donovan Dijakovic. So, what are your thoughts on this?
So I'm torn on this because I read that early days too. And then now there's speculation that there's, so another twist of this, I was just watching sort of an aggregator video that I watched today. Shout out Cultaholic. I love Cultaholic. but they were talking, they were showing apparently Vincent and I forget the other guy that was in his stable in ROH, but Vincent and like the other stable mate that are now done with Impact were backstage at Raw apparently last night. Two perfect candidates for any Wyatt sort of stable. Like they're like, they look like horror movie characters in themselves, right? In and of themselves. So my personal, I would love it with the caveat that they're still physical people. You know what I mean? Like I would hate it if they wrestled and only were these like mascots basically, right, for all intents and purposes. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think that we would get actual mascot type characters like a Mantor in 2022, but who knows? Right. I don't know. So that's my worry. So if they're the like, what's the other term for physical being? If they're the like
manifestation,
physical, if they're like the physical like manifestation of those characters, but like not in masks and mascot costumes, and fine. But so I'm for it, but I think it's going to be new people. I don't think it's going to be Cross. I don't think it's going to be Dexter Lumis was thrown out there as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be any of those. Alexa is an interesting one, given that there was, I don't know if you caught this, but and the listeners out there, but there was if you watched last week's, so the Raw before the pay-per-view, they flash sort of as Alexa's getting angry, they flash and there's a Fiend mask I think it was the Fiend mask pops up over her head. Mm-hmm. There's just been subtle clues in that, like the music goes, the color changes. So all that stuff. There was Liv Morgan's, I think, Twitter and Seth Rollins' Twitter went black. Like it just totally went black and sort of went offline and got like sort of taken offline right after Extreme Rules. So then that's spawned a lot of questioning whether Liv would make perfect sense. I don't know how you fit her in there. So where I'm going with this is that these five characters are basically just to throw us off the hunt of a new sort of Wyatt stable, similar. And kudos to you because you kind of nailed this. Basically a new old Wyatt family. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like mm-hmm. That's my take on it. I think all of these sort of as cool as the Funhouse characters are and would be if they were sort of done properly. I don't see how that's possible. As a horror fan, I love the idea, but I hate it because there's a new Winnie the Pooh horror movie out and it's literally like Winnie the Pooh characters running around killing people. But it's like that works for a movie, but not for 2022's wrestling product. You know what I mean? Like that's what I'm remembering about that. So yes, I think there's a stable coming. I'm just kind of not sure what it's going to look like or what it's going to sort of be represented by, but I'm very curious to see hear your take.
Yeah, I definitely do not want to see somebody in a pig mask wrestling in a wrestling ring. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't want to see the Fiend again, to be quite honest. And yeah, have a feeling I don't know Bray Wyatt, but I mean, just the character itself, that he would more than likely want to see these people dead and buried, let alone resurrect them. What I could see happening is, yes, these people will be involved in some sort of angle, and then the real stable comes out and beats them down and gets rid of them is what I could see without revealing who these people are. Right. So for me, what pops into my head but again, it goes to the past. So is he going to get rid of the past completely? But you could see easily Braun is back. So you could see Braun join him again. You could see Eric Rowan coming back, you know, join them again. Although I just feel like with Braun, they're trying to go a different direction with him.
They want to make monster baby face kind of Braun.
I mean, somebody that I just thought of that nobody's really touching on that could possibly be a female member of that stable would be an unstable Nikki Cross. As she's getting rid of the whole Nikki ASH gimmick and maybe losing her mind. Having her join as a stable in the stable, that would be pretty cool. I don't mind the idea of Gacy joining, because I have a feeling with Bray returning, the whole Gacy character kind of gets put dead in the water in that case. Although they are different. They are different.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't link them personally.
But how many cult leaders / serial killers can you have between Dexter Loomis, Bray Wyatt, and Joe Gacy? So if you had, and who knows, maybe the whole schism comes up,
I was just going to say, yeah, because they just, that was a previous regime decision, but they just repackaged them.
Yeah, so you could have that. You could have, who's it just popped in my, I really, honestly, don't see Dijakovic in that. I just for some reason,
I see him coming back as Dominik Dijakovic, to be quite honest. I think Triple H loved that character. He loved him. I think he's fantastic in the ring. Give him a little bit of more character as that guy, and I think he could get over for sure.
Yeah, so that's kind of, to me, is out the window, but I could be completely wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could see like a Gacy and definitely Bo coming back would be a nice added touch.
Don't you think the Bo thing is just a swerve, right? I mean, I think he's coming back. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I think Bo's coming back, but I think it's just really good timing, right? They know they can bring him back and also spawn rumors of he's going to join his brother. But maybe I'm simplifying it too much, I guess, but...
Yeah, well, they never did acknowledge that they were brothers in the past. So this would be a good way to tie it in, you know, because Triple H seems to be not wanting to do that whole, well, we don't acknowledge that this person was so and so. You know what I mean? It's
he's definitely bringing up the past for sure.
It's definitely intriguing. So I don't know, like I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know of who they rumor for that stable really turns my crank. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I think a Bo I'd be happy with. I honestly, I don't need Braun. I was never really sold on Braun in that stable. To me, I loved Bray, Luke Harper, and Eric Rowan. That was just phenomenal. Yeah. But that's the past now. Yeah,
I'm with you on Braun. I want to see Braun far away from that. Braun's got the makings of a massive babyface run here. I mean, he's gonna get there, and I actually think he's done great. But it's funny you say that. Like, to me, I don't really care who's in the stable. I just don't, because it's not about them. It's about him elevating them, and it's about sort of Bray's sort of creepiness and all of that stuff. To me, it's irrelevant. Like, if anything, I'd rather it be guys that and girls that aren't established, because then you're not taking them back, right?
Yeah.
You're sort of just creating new, like Harper and Rowan, we didn't know who they were, right?
Yes,
like
that's
what was good. Braun, same deal, but you're right. It was just Braun didn't seem to fit ever. But then,
I mean,
like,
there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that there's going to be a stable. We're just going by fans. Fans are just reading so much into it. You know,
I think Trips is a big stable guy. Let's be honest. He's doing war games. I think we're going to have multiple war games matches. I don't think it's just one. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have a women's match, a men's match, maybe even multiple men's match. Because could be the bloodline, but you're not putting Roman in that, I guess. So do you have enough to put? You do, right? You have Solo, you have Sammy, you have Usos. No, that's only four. You need five, right?
Well, no, they've had four on four before. The five on five is the traditional.
It's traditional, right?
If they include a Roman in War Games, then it avoids them having to defend the title too, right? Extends his reign longer.
That's true. Good point. Yeah. So, but then is it going to be a Wyatt six sort of versus a bloodline thing, or does Wyatt stable versus Judgment Day? Is it Judgment Day? We have to get a stable versus stable, at least one, right? So who the hell would it be right now? We don't have a stable that could go. I mean, unless you join Brawling Brutes and somebody else, and you know what I mean? You could splice them together, but that.
Yeah, I could see like Drew and the Brawling Brutes and maybe Kevin Owens or something like that.
Fair. Mm-hmm. I guess my only prognosticating is going down the line of it makes perfect sense. I think Triple H likes stables. Let's just be fair. Like Undisputed Era, like he was part of DX. He was in the click. Like he knows the value of stables. So I think we're definitely, I do think we're getting a stable from Wyatt. Mm-hmm. I think he's been the best he's been when he has those people around him. Mm-hmm. Right? Do you agree? I mean, maybe not.
Yeah.
I agree. He just seemed off to me when he didn't have those followers or the stable or whatever, right?
He doesn't need to wrestle as much when he has a stable.
Exactly. And he's an attraction now. He's not going to be on every show. He's definitely sure shit not wrestling on every show. Yep. So you want to keep people interested in it. You got to have. But there, so anyway, circling back to my, I don't really care who it is unless it's established guys. It's like the Daniel Bryan thing was the stupidest thing, in my opinion, when they put him in. I know it was temporary and I know he lost the match and blah, blah, blah. But it just didn't work. And it didn't work because we knew that was Daniel Bryan. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I hope it's not Rollins. I'd be okay with Liv. Liv makes sense because Liv, you're stripping her down. She's completely distraught. She's gone cuckoo. She's going into the Wyatts. Nikki makes sense. Nikki A.S.H. is dead and gone. Nikki Cross is back, stripped down. Seth Rollins doesn't make any sense to me. Even Grayson Waller doesn't make any sense to me.
No,
so
no, I keep.
I think those are just red herrings that they're throwing out there.
Literally, people are guessing Grayson Waller because he wears Hawaiian shirts.
He wears Hawaiian. No,
okay, so maybe Magnum P.I.
That's not the only reason. There was a Fiend lantern behind his last promo.
Ah, well, I mean, you know, they're just going to do this
they're
to get people talking.
Purpose, yeah, they're doing it on purpose. But that was the link. There was a Fiend lantern behind his promo.
And we could be looking in a totally different direction. Like, who knows? Maybe like an EC3 now that he's in this Psycho Control Your Narrative comes back or something like that. Yeah. Or maybe a Tom Latimer. Something like that.
Oh, you'd be sweet in there. I would love
Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But that's the beauty of it. And God, please, folks, let this play out.
Don't start complaining. That's what I was hinting at before. Is like, I think this is a super slow build. This is going to be, although it can't be that slow because you got to get to Survivor Series, which is what, a month away?
If they're involved, they don't need to be.
Fair point. I mean, I guess it could be. Who, but if not, so I know we're talking about Wyatt, but if not, who's the War Games match then? Bloodline versus insert a bunch of people here.
Yeah. That's
similar to what they did in NXT a couple times, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fair. Mm-hmm. I guess. Good point.
Yeah.
All right. So do we both agree though? There is a potential stable coming. At least we think.
I think there is. Yeah. I think there has to be. Honestly, I think there has to be. So that brings up another point that I wanted to talk about before we go is potential dream matches, and you know, using that as in, I know he's faced some of these people before, and there could be others. I just threw these names down, but there could definitely be some others that we haven't seen him face before, or we don't know what's going to happen. But there's definitely some matches lined up that are pretty juicy here. Oh. So to name a few, like I've added Roman, of course. I mean, I know we've seen them before, and they even tag team before. We always had that great gift from when they were the tag team.
Did they tag team? I do not remember that. Was this the most recent run?
It was the run where he was in the white pants, and he was it was the Matt Hardy era gimmick there, where he's in the white pants and the dreadnoughts, and Bray hits the finish maneuver, and then he points over while he's doing the pin, and Roman spears the guy that's coming into the ring. I forget what that was. It wasn't like a long standing tag team. It was maybe just one match, but yeah.
But check that out.
Roman and Bray, you've got that. You've got Edge. You know, that's one that we never got to see because Edge was out while Bray was doing his thing. KO is always in the mix to have that'd be a physical match. That'd be a fantastically physical match. Of course, you have the rematch with Seth and
well, they got some unfinished business they want to make up for that for sure.
And they teased that with Seth talking about it on Ariel Helwani's show, right? And then, of course, the one that everybody's going to be talking about is Cody, right? They got to get Cody in there.
I guess I take a different approach on these dream matches. So I agree. Those would all be fantastic. But we've talked about this many times. There's not a single bad – I mean, well, okay, almost aside and the other guy from – but. 95% of the roster, there's not a bad match with anyone there, right? To me, you can't just pick some of these guys. Like Cody doesn't make sense unless there's some sort of angle where he's trying to get him in the cult or he's done something to him or Brandy gets involved, and then okay, now you're convinced me. Cody's about the title, man. That's all Cody cares about right now. If you're sticking to storyline, Bray's gonna be, I hope, if maybe not, maybe I don't hope this, but I for the very least, I don't want him to be in the title picture right now. So I think Cody's a down the road, maybe. Edge in the Judgment Day would have been cool. But I think just Adam Copeland edge guy that he is now, I don't know. Do you see a story building there? I'm trying to think of the coolest stories you could have. And I think KO might be cool. Seth, we've done. They might be able to do Seth. I don't know. This is a great question in that I just don't want to see Bray. If Bray's going to be an attraction, you got to damn well make that storyline make sense, right? You can't just throw him in there with anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, these were just the top of mind names. I mean, there's so many potential matches. Like, we can think big here as far as possible opponents. I mean, even, like we mentioned, even Joe Gacy is a guy that they can build something to, right?
Like, character-wise, like, imagine a storyline between, well, see, I like Dexter Lumis, but he doesn't really speak. So I was going to say, like, it'd be cool, like, a character versus character style where, like, Dexter's, because he's a baby, go figure, he's a serial killer baby face. Yeah. But anyway, like, I guess I'm just trying to picture, like, and I don't disagree. All of those guys are fantastic, and I would watch the hell out of any of those matches. But more so, like, trying to see where's the best fit. Who would be the best person on the roster right now for him to build that first real angle with? I mean, that's a tough question. It really is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's got to make sense for both guys because, I don't know, do you feel like he's going to get at least some – Bray Wyatt took his character, the Fiend, whether it was Bray or the Fiend, he looked like ass on his way out. I mean, he got buried basically. Yeah, right? So they need to fix that. They need to remedy that, in my opinion. So you want to almost feed him guys that are still going to be elevated, but losses and stuff won't really hurt him. Right. That's man, that's a friggin' tough question, bud.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the easy answer would be just throw him in there with Goldberg and have him destroy Goldberg just to make up for that.
You know, Triple H would be okay with that, probably.
But I mean, you got obviously the most obvious potential feud that can't happen right now because he's on the shelf is Orton, right?
Yeah, good call. Yeah, the end of the. Yeah.
Orton did kill him.
If they want to keep the Fiend lineage and stuff, right? I mean, if you're going to sort of bypass the Fiend stuff, if the Fiend's dead and gone, I'm okay with that. What about Karrion Kross?
Yeah, that one pops into mind. Yeah.
Spooky, you got Scarlet. They're both sort of like creepy, weirdo characters. Like, to me, that's the first one that I would be really, really intrigued by that popped in there. Because, like, we touched on this in one of the reviews. Like, Kross is not going to go out there and give you a 5-star match, but he's going to give you storyline after storyline after storyline. And that's the guy you need with Bray, right? And it'd be a good match. Don't get me wrong. I think it'd be an enjoyable match.
Especially if he has a female family member, too, because then she counteracts Scarlett, right?
Exactly. And I'm shocked that they haven't got Scarlett, like, involved physically yet. She had matches in Impact. She's trained, I think, at the very least, as a wrestler. So she could actually get in there too at some point. So good point on that. That's a great point, actually. But yeah, I don't know that for me, the dream match, if we're just sort of like, I don't know if you even asked me this, but if it's my dream match, the first guy I want to see him in there is as they build this is through Karrion Kross. Funny enough, he's supposed to physically show up on SmackDown. So the speculation is he's going to be a blue brand guy. Or at the very least go back and forth, but we didn't see him on Raw, right? We didn't see Bray show up at Raw. They did a little vignette and a little thing, but he's apparently supposed to be on SmackDown. So,
well, and the question becomes, is he going to be a face?
I think he has to be because by default,
they're kind of forced.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By default, he's going to be cheered. Like they're going to cheer the hell out of him.
Well, but I mean, of course, a creepy cult leader.
Yeah, but was he ever a heel or a face, really? I mean, he was always that nondescript.
He's a character.
Yeah, he's a nondescript character that people are going to do what they want to do, right?
He's the Undertaker, right? Which goes way back to why they should have had him beat the Undertaker at Mania, right?
Because this is why I love Bray even more, because I know he's a fan of the horror genre. And in the horror genre, the bad guys are the killer, like, or the good guys are the bad guys, right? I mean, like, people don't go to a Friday 13th movie to see insert heroine last final girl here. It's they go to see Jason kill some people, right? That's what they go for. So I think it's totally fine that he's not a good guy or a bad guy, or they slap a, like, I guess internal roster sheets, like you always hear about. He's probably got to be listed as one of those in one of those columns, but to the TV audience, I don't think it matters, really.
My feeling is for him, you either have to have him go against somebody just as supernatural, like you say, like a Karrion Kross, that situation, or you have to have him go against somebody squeaky clean that he can really start bringing their dark side out, right?
Yeah, fair.
So that's kind of maybe where the whole Cody idea popped into my head.
That's a really good take.
Just getting that killer instinct for Cody. Now,
almost like a guy he's got to get through to get to the title, kind of thing.
Yeah. But then you have Bray jobbing out, and you don't want that.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely don't want that right now.
As we both mentioned, we don't want to see him in the title picture because that means, like, I feel like the title is almost like an albatross around his neck, having him have that title. He doesn't need the title. He is his own thing. He is somebody that if he were to step in the ring with Roman, you can totally believe that he would beat Roman.
So I'm almost second guessing my take on that. If they evolve this into like some sort of fiendish character where it's like a character and then Bray Wyatt, my take is the Fiend should not be anywhere near the belt, like nowhere near the title scene. But, and you've touched on this many times and off air too, if he's Bray Wyatt, then I have less of an issue with Bray Wyatt, the character being Bray Wyatt, and because he's not a horror movie villain, right? He's mm-hmm. just a normal guy who happens to be creepy and sort of has a cult and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But you can't put the Fiend can never lose, in my opinion. He can't.
Yeah.
So if you go in with something like that, then you can't, or at the very least, he can't lose multiple times. So he's got to, maybe you defeat him once, but then he comes back and just destroys you for the next three or four. Right. So,
which is what happened. Yeah. They had him lose all the time. And that just weakened him.
You're not a supernatural killer, crazy character. And maybe Vince was at the time thinking, well, Kane was just normal and all this stuff. But like, I don't even remember Kane losing more than a couple of matches. Did he?
No, Kane was pretty protected.
Yeah. So if there's no character attached, then fine. I think he can sort of dabble in the Bray stuff, or in the Roman stuff. But I still prefer him. We talked about this. He's a character upon himself, right? He is his own character. He's an Undertaker. What's some other, like, I guess a Kane is a good example of that. Or what's some other like sort of supernatural sort of characters that didn't need to be? I mean,
Papa Shango.
Papa Shango wasn't. I guess he was more mid, but. Anyway, you get the point, but he's an attraction upon himself. So
he is, yeah. He is, as I mentioned, I was saying about Seth recently because of all his losses. He is a title, you know. Yeah. A victory over him is like a title victory.
And that's how cool! Sorry to interrupt, but how big, to your point, did the U.S. title victory feel because it was Seth Rollins last night, right on Raw? Mm-hmm. It felt massive.
They completely protected Lashley. The whole Brock thing.
Agreed.
There's another prospective match right there, Brock and Bray.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Two different. Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Brock would have put him over.
He would, which I don't think Brock has a problem doing these days. Brock's like a pay me guy. I don't care. You know what I mean? He's like whatever probably now. Although, did they ever face each other before? I don't think they did they?
I'm not even sure. I can't even remember. My memory for that is just. Not there.
They were definitely around like in the same. They've crossed paths, but I don't think they ever ran a match. Anyway, I agree. That would be an interesting like clash of styles and character. And my only hope is that he's built up like a monster that he should be. Right? I mean, I'm pretty confident he is. If you're paying this guy as like a Goldberg or a Lesnar style, it doesn't mean he doesn't win every. It doesn't mean he wins every match, but he sure as shit better be protected, like you said, right?
Yeah, another guy that you might see him maybe jump right off the get-go since he's going on SmackDown would be Drew. You know, that could be just an easy feud where I know Drew is on a losing streak here, but I feel like Drew can still be fine. He can be salvaged and you're just cooling him off now after. I mean, we were at the point at Clash of the Castle that we could see him win that belt. Yeah, so it's okay. He can be cooled off for a little bit, you know.
He was the main attraction of that show with Roman, yeah.
I mean, you could throw a Sheamus in there. Imagine Gunther against this guy, you know.
That would be good. I mean, listen, Bray can go with anybody. I think that's he's proven that. So I don't think the physical in-ring stuff, my only point, so you could literally put him with all those guys. To me, I want it to be sort of a nice story to go along with it. Like, so it's so that you're sort of not just throwing opponents at him, right, for fodder. Yeah.
No, I do like the cross idea though.
That I think that would be so cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So cool. It would get dark and twisted and they'd, yeah. Anyway, I'm all for that if that's the case.
For sure. All right.
I'm also all for a Fiend movie if they do put that back on the table, because that sounded amazing.
Leave them in the movies, though. Leave them in the movies.
Yes, just for the movies. Just for the movies.
All right, listeners. Well, we want to know your opinion. So why don't you let us know? Head on over to WWTT Pod on either Twitter or Instagram, or head over to Wrestling with the Truth on Facebook, or go over to our YouTube page and let us know. What are your thoughts? What do you think? Who's Bray Wyatt? Who's Bray Wyatt going to be battling to start things off? Who do you want to see him fighting? Do you think he's going to be a face? Do you think he's going to be a heel? Do you think there's going to be a stable for Bray Wyatt? Let us know those answers, because we're definitely interested. And perhaps in the next episode, we can share some of the responses that we got on that.
Get some feedback. Yeah, it's for sure. It's. I think we can, at the very least, hopefully even the listeners can, we can all agree that it's just exciting to be excited again, right? Mm-hmm. Like all of this stuff. We didn't even touch on Raw from last night, and I know we're sort of going long, but Raw was great. We got the return of sort of the OC or whatever, or whatever they're going to call AJ Styles and the Good Brothers, and you still got Judgment Day, and then we had Brock show up, and totally out of the blue where they went with that. I mean, Brock showing up is not a new thing, but going after Lashley, like that kind of threw me off, right? So anyway, it's just so cool to be excited right now about all things WWE, just the way it should be. They are the biggest wrestling company in the world. We should be excited about them.
I agree. That's it's fun to be a wrestling fan at this time.
Yep.
Whether you are WWE or whether you are AEW or Impact or whatever. I mean, AEW has got all that craziness going on backstage, but actually the product seems to be pretty good right now in front of the camera, because he got rid of some of the prima donnas that are, sometimes a little bit of competition and strife backstage helps out the product in front of the camera.
Yep. You're absolutely right. And sort of sometimes what's that saying? The pearls come from stress, or I don't know, whatever. The pressure creates the diamonds, or whatever. I'm so bad at those friggin' things. Somebody look it up and tell me. But you know what I mean? I'm trying to make the point that all of that sort of turmoil can produce good at the end of the day, right? Sometimes.
Yes. So,
I agree. I am actually excited. I hope you're probably not going to watch it, but the AEW Mixer Canadian debut tomorrow night. So
I'll probably watch that. Probably watch it.
Mm-hmm. Check that out. It's going to be a hot crowd. Bizarro land, as the American announcers like to call our Canadian fans.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Anyway, all right. Great show. Good chat. Yep. Let us know all of your takes out there in podcast land about who you want to see, who you don't want to see, who do you think is. Or you're not even excited that Bray's back. We didn't even throw that out there. Maybe people aren't excited.
I'd say by Twitter land that they're pretty excited.
Just before we end, I just want to, and I will never meet the man. He'll never hear this, but what a friggin' cool gesture that Wyndham Rotunda did on Saturday night, minutes even, at least hours, but probably minutes after he's the biggest name trending in the world. I don't know if you saw this, BC, but he goes out and he tweets, in completely Wyndham Rotunda, out of character, there was no kayfabe, it was just the man tweeting as a human being, Sarah Lee's sort of GoFundMe or whatever the charitable sort of fundraising link was, which is being put on by, I think it was a guy in NXT, it was one of the
Bull James.
Right? Mm-hmm. So he was sort of hosting the link, and obviously he knows Sarah Lee's husband was anyway, I'm sure he knows all of them, but just what a really cool gesture that he was completely, it was a selfless act. He was not in character. He didn't mention the pay-per-view, didn't mention his debut. He didn't mention anything. He said, hey, something, I don't have the tweet up. I should have had it up, but it just dawned on me, but like, go check it out. It was just a very sincere tweet about helping somebody who really needs it through a tragedy that took the life of his wife. Go support this person. And he actually posted the link. Like, Do you know how many people probably clicked on that link because he posted that? Like, that was to me, like, what a good dude, right? I don't know the guy, and maybe he's not, but just what a solid thing to do, man. Like, that was, he was the biggest thing trending in the wrestling world, and he chose to do that as opposed to sort of, and I love MJF, but like, that's the difference, right? Like, that's him completely saying, I'm just a, not, he didn't say this, but just him being a good person and saying, I'm not saying MJF wouldn't do something like that, but you know what I mean? MJF uses everything for his own build and his own gain, whereas Wyndham just goes out there and promotes that. And I just thought that was really cool.
That's using your celebrity for good right there. And I mean, of course, that was sad news to hear about the death of Sarah Lee, and our thoughts and, you know, thoughts and prayers go out to her family and to you know, the one person that most people are aware of is Wesley Blake or Weston Blake, depending on which character, and that's his wife. And of course, she was the winner of Tough Enough, and it's unfortunate that happened so young. So, you know, thoughts and prayers for that. But yeah, it's nice to see that people, not just him, but lots of people came to came out. But I mean, you're right. The fact that the night that he was the biggest, hottest ticket in wrestling, he decided instead of come on there and gloat, he decided to use that opportunity to really promote something. So
yeah, good. I just thought it was really stand up move. But anyway, we digress. But great. Go check it out and support. But thanks for all you crazy cats out there for listening to us ramble.
Yeah, and thanks a lot, Jay. I know there was a big commitment today to do to do these episodes, but I appreciate you doing it. And you know, looking forward to some more fun conversations about the wrestling world here. So it should be good. So, yeah. And by the way, as far as us, you can catch us coming up this, it should be this week. We'll be recording on Sunday, but we're going to be taking part on the Smacked Raw Rewind episode over on YouTube, Smacked Raw Podcast. A great show. Good friends of the show here. We're going to be joining the boys over there and going on their show. We appreciate the invite there, and make sure you head on over to YouTube and check it out. Should be fun. It's always a fun talk with those guys. Tyler and RN are two cool guys that, you know, have a lot of fun when they're doing their shows. So it should be a little bit of a nice diversion from what we do. And it's fun to be the guest on these things and not have to prepare. So, go on over to YouTube, support those guys. They have a great podcast themselves. Our good friend Ted the Hillbilly Heel is part of the SmackDraw group now. And Botch Spots and Chair Shots as well with the Will Gray is also part of that program. So all good shows. And make sure you support them and make sure you support us when we head on over there to be on their episode. Absolutely. But that,
check it out.
That being said, for Jay, I am BC. And boy, I hope you've got a Bray Wyatt mantra to put at the end of this.
Pressure's on.
I will say we are out of here.
Let me in.
Is that the Dixie version of his theme song?